But when you get to the end of it, it is good. Because at the end of that whole process, we see then what? The purity, and that's our heart's desire, mine, and I hope it's yours too, to have that purity of heart of God, to show love, to show compassion, to be used by Him in such a way that He has asked us to do and to go and to share and to be His hands, His feet, His voice extended. And we have a great opportunity. Don't you believe that? Aren't you excited about that? You know, even though we're living in a crazy time, but hey, this is the time that I'm born. This is the time that I'm in. And I want to use it to His advantage, amen? How many times do you say, I want to use it to my advantage? It's always us, huh? But no, once you're refined and refined again, you begin to get that thought process, that mindset, that it's not for what I want, it's what you want. And what He wants, I want. Hopefully we've turned our thoughts, our eyes, our spirit over to Him to where we can say, Lord, it's Yours. Here I am, use me. And we are all, as children of God, from His kingdom to where we're on this place here to bring forth His kingdom upon this place. Kingdom property, kingdom dynamics, you know, dominion, proclaim it, these type things. Not name it and proclaim it, but proclaim His word and let Him, you know, claim that. And so we go forth that way. So it's been a very, very good week. How about you guys? Seems like a lot of things get accomplished, but there's always things that I didn't get done. Anybody feel that way? Now, the bad thing about it, you guys got masks on. I can't see if you're smiling or frowning, so I don't know. Maybe two hands up, you're smiling, one hand up, you're frowning. I don't know, but I'll probably forget that order too, so maybe we won't worry about that. I'll just believe by that of the Spirit, you're smiling under those masks. Amen? Thanking God. So yeah, we find ourselves into this whole situation again, but it'll pass. It'll pass. We're going to be trusting our Lord for His answers to come forth. You know, the thing is that He has an answer. And I look at it in the natural to what, even if He shares it with those powers to be, would it be where they would even listen? Because I look at it myself in my early years when I was kind of like estranged from Him. And He would share things maybe and try to tell me things. But because I wasn't really tuned to Him, listening to Him, it didn't really go very far, did it? So God has the answer. He has the plan. He's going to work it through us, someone out there, a group of people, a group of whatever, organization. But there is an answer coming. God is going to get the glory, and we just know He's in control. So with that, we don't have to worry. We just have to what? We remain in prayer. Last week, we spent the whole Sunday service in prayer. Didn't even have a message. It was just a time for the church to intercede and pray for whether it's the churches, whether it's the government, schools, family, just pray in general. And I think that's what God wants to hear His churches doing out here is to pray, and when else fails, pray again and again to not give up and to know that He hears our prayers. And so thank you for those last week that were here and those that we had come up to the mic to pray. Afterwards, it was a time of praying for individuals, and someone had the word to pray for certain ones for health and healing, and that was a good thing. And so God is moving. Do you believe that? That He is moving. It's just going to be up to us to pay attention. It's going to be up to us to hear. And my message here in a little bit that we get into it is going to be about hearing. Might have to do a hearing test. We could probably do that really easy with our soundboard back there sometimes, get a high-pitched. Who hears that high frequency? Who hears that low frequency? Our hearing range is different and vary. So today, we want to look at just a little bit of time that we've got here about hearing. And it's so important to hear, don't you believe? We have to hear what the Spirit is what? Saying. We have to hear what God is trying to get into us, because it's either good for you because He's wanting to do something into your life personally, or He's wanting to get Himself into you because He's got something for you to do that involves you, but it involves him working and sharing or going out and doing, saying, volunteering, sharing the light of Christ. But if we don't hear, will we go? If we don't know, will we know what to even say or do when we get there? And so this is a part of what God is trying to tell us. And Jesus, in the New Testament, you find it in that of the parables of the sower and all, and that's where we want to go here eventually, begin there, and there's some areas I want to end up in Revelation. But I do want to speak with regards to the scripture in Matthew 11:15. We find that in Matthew 11:15, it says that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, we all know, as we've grown up, most of us probably in here have had kids. And when I was a kid, I'm sure my mom probably said the same thing. And as I was a parent, I said the same thing to my kids. It's like, aren't you listening to me? Anybody ever had to tell your kids that or ask your kids that when you've told them something? Do this or this or this. And guess what? They don't do this or this or this. And so we go to them and say, Billy, didn't you hear me? Maybe he heard you, but he didn't want to obey that, or he didn't want to fulfill that. Maybe he was distracted by the cartoon on the TV. Maybe he was distracted by the toys, or whatever the case is. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I find that as I look at you, we're all big kids. And I think in the scope of what God is speaking, and Jesus here talking about in the parable of the sower, but he who has ears here, everybody here has got a set of ears, right? Check them. You got them, man. You know you got them today because you got masks hanging on them. You got those things there, and I was like, hey, what's this on my ear? Hey, I got ears on the side of my head. Well, use them what they're there for, to hear. But not just to hear natural things, but let your spiritual hearing be open to hear from that of God. And see, we've got natural ears, and I think we've got spiritual ears. Now, natural ears will hear what I'm saying right now. We can read the scriptures. I can sit there and say, as the King James, New King James, in Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You're not hearing that by the Spirit, are you? You're hearing that orally as I'm talking, and your ears are hearing it. But then what happens is we've got to realize is once we hear those things, it'll go in, but sometimes I'll raise both hands. I'm really good that it goes in here and it comes out there. And somewhere it doesn't stop to do any kind of thought process in my thoughts because I'm not paying attention. Honey, would you like to speak to that? No, no, please no. You know, how many times would your spouse or a friend say, they're talking, da, 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 and then you go, then they'll say, are you listening to me? And of course we go, sure. What did I just say? Well, it started off, but I lost the translation somewhere along the way. So physically we hear, you're hearing what I'm saying, I'm encouraging you to hear, but I'm also want to encourage you today to hear by that of the Spirit, and don't just hear, but follow what the Spirit is telling us. The Amplified version would say this, he who has ears to hear, here's the key, let him be listening. Are you listening? Thank God, I'm honored you're listening to me today, but are you listening to the Spirit of God when he speaks to you? And it could be in your quiet time, but also the Spirit of God can speak to you even in a busy time. Has anybody been out there busy doing something naturally, involved in work, involved in something, and all of a sudden you hear something in your spiritual hearing by that of the Spirit of God telling you something? Isn't that great if we can do this to where I can hear physically with my ears, but my spiritual ears are also tuned to that of God's Spirit, because as much as I'm involved in the things of today, I want to be involved with the things of today with who? God. And if we are taught right, and that's ourselves, teaching ourselves to know these things by reading his word, but to be aware of his word and to be aware that he's going to speak to you by that of the Holy Spirit, you have got to keep your spiritual hearing antenna up to when that spirit begins to say something, even though I got, you know, a jackhammer going, or I'm nailing, or I'm drilling something, or there's some kind of natural noise, but I am also, all of a sudden, God is saying, Tim, this is what I want you to do, or Tim, I heard your prayers. Tim, I heard your pleas. Tim, this is what your answer. Tim, this is what, this is, Tim, I want to hear when God says, Tim, even though I got a jackhammer going in the natural, I want my spirit so in tune to him that I can still go da 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 da, but I'm hearing God. And God is dropping something into my spirit. So it says here, he who has ears and the Amplified, let him be listening and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. Our hearing in the natural does a lot of things. We hear, we consider, we perceive what we're hearing and what it's about, and then we are beginning to comprehend it to what it's going to mean and how it's going to be put to use. So I love that. Consider, perceive, and comprehend by hearing. Today, as it always has been, we must be hearing the right voice. There's a lot of voices out there, guys. Do you believe that? There's good voices and bad voices. There are voices, or a voice, there is a voice that wants to put you on the straight and narrow, and there's another voice that wants to get you off of the straight and narrow and put you into all of these other trails along the side, or these paths along the side, and maybe those paths are life. I've not gone down just one trail. Has anybody here just been on one trail in your whole life? Or have you felt like you've been on many trails? I've been on many trails. In the beginning, I wasn't even on a trail with God. Anybody been there? My trail, my path was me and what I thought I needed and wanted to do in life. I had my desires, I had my plans, I had my wishes, I had my thoughts. I was going this way. Or that way, whatever way. But it was what? Like, was it Frank Sinatra? We don't want to be like him. I've done it my way. No, man. Yeah, he says what? Regrets? I have a few. Yeah, a lot of regrets, man. But once we hear of God, once God gets a hold of us, we've got to understand that I've got to change a path. My life has to change from that of where I was wanting to go to where I want to know what God wants me to do, and I want to be on his path. But it requires me hearing. It's going to require me to perceive him, consider it, comprehend it, and then I need to act upon that. But I've got to know the voice that I'm hearing. And if you don't know the voices, you've got to be careful, because there's a voice out there too that may sound like that of God, because it talks like that of the devil's like an angel of light too. He can appear as light. We talk about the light of God. He's a light. So it's very, very important for us, especially followers of Christ, to know the light that we're following, to know the voice that we're hearing, comprehending, and following. Because there's two areas out there, and one is of evil, and one is of good. But he who has ears, hear. So we need to know what to do when we do it. We need to know when God is telling us to do something. We must guard ourselves from following that wrong voice or that direction. How many times I have found myself early on going in the wrong direction. I thought it was God, but I was going in the wrong direction. I had to stop. And I had to think about something. And you have to look at the whole thing around it saying, is this leading up to good, or is this going down a path that could be of bad? Is it going down the group or a path, I should say, that is leading to what God is wanting, or is it really something that I am desiring? I know it says he gives you the desires of your heart, but I think once we have a heart change, our heart begins to be like that of Christ, and all we want is what he wants. So it's pretty easy for him to give the desires of your heart, because what's my heart really want? I don't want what Tim wants. Huh? Lord, God, I want what you want. That's in my heart. Then he says, Tim, I'll give you the desires of your heart. What we've got to make sure is our heart has been changed. Our heart has turned from that of evil and wickedness and the things of this world to a heart that of the kingdom mindset. And then I'm pretty sure that what my heart desires is going to line up to what my God desires. And he's going to say, I'll provide that to you. Because my heart's desire might say, I want $1 million, and the way I'm going to get it is I'm going to rob a bank. That doesn't go very far. That's not the right thinking. That's craziness. But I'm going to say this, that as children of God, your life can be filled with, like that, of a millionaire, but it's not looking at the physical and the natural and the worldly things of being a millionaire, is it? It's looking at, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have peace and you got $1 million, that $1 million is worthless. Because you're always running worried. You always have anxiety. You're always wondering, what happens if I lose it? What happens? How can I gain more? How can I do this? What about that? What about this? But I can tell you this, as a child of God, if I can go through, and especially 2020, this year of 2020, January 1st, 2020, I wish I would have prophesied. I wish God would have prepared me to say where I could have stood before you to say, ladies and gentlemen, God says by March 7th, this nation's going to be shut down. You would have thought, Tim, you're squirrely. If I would have said, in 2020 in April, we're going to have killer hornets coming from Asia. Well, I don't think they came. But I mean, one thing after another lined up. You know, it's just crazy. It's like, can we really get any more wild out there? But see, I'm hearing of the Spirit. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit. I hear. He who has ears. Now, we all have ears. Remember, I started that off. You all have natural ears. What you've got to do is you've got to tune into your spiritual ears. You've got to get a spiritual hearing aid if you need to. But, well, you don't even need that because, you know, God will heal you. You don't have to have a hearing aid to hear the Spirit. You just got to get your spirit lined up with His. And you have to say, Lord, all I want is what you want. Everything else doesn't matter, Father. My plans, my dreams, my wishes, my wants, my thoughts, they don't count for nothing, God. I'm coming over to you. And whatever it is that you have, that's what I want. I shared my experiences as far as leaving this secular world of working into how I just got into the ministry, it was a slow process in my thought because it was a few years of battling within myself. But when it happened like that. And when I explained it to this gentleman, he goes, well, now I wouldn't have thought you were like going off of the deep end. If I would have really, and I had said that, you know, how God showed me some things. But it was because what I was hearing spiritually from Him. As I was in my secular job driving and working and going, I was constant in communication by that of the Spirit. My ears were open. My physical ears were open so I could drive and hear, you know, if I needed to pull over for a siren or whatever. But my spiritual ears, they were as opened as my natural ears because I was driving and I was hearing the natural sounds of birds singing, but I could also hear the voice of God. And when God starts to speak to you in that spiritual time, He's telling you things that He wants you to do or prepare for. He's asking you questions. He's giving you thoughts. He's giving you direction. And I said everything that He told me at that time, and I've shared this but just briefly, when I was in that decision of where I was going to serve Him or not or stay in my secular job, and all He said is, there are two doors, Tim. Choose which door you want to go through. The right door is to serve me, and you'll succeed in that. The left door is doing what you're doing, working where I was working, and you will succeed at that. Now, as a human, I'm looking at that as a guy saying what? Well, it's a win-win situation, right? This door, He says I'll succeed in. Naturally, working in a career I had, it wasn't like He was going to cause me to like lose anything. But I could serve Him in this right door, and He will do and serve and provide, and I'll be a success. Whatever. And I said to God at that time, well, I don't know what success means, Lord, but I will go through Your door not even having to think twice. Because I said, Lord, I want to serve You no matter what else goes on in my life. But that was it wasn't really a coming to Jesus meeting, because here it is. He said, either door, you will be successful. So it wasn't like He was prodding me to say, twisting my arm to go this way and I'll take care of you. Go that way and I won't take care of you. But it's the spiritual hearing at the time when I'm listening in my time with God, word, reading His word, getting it solidified in me to see how trusting of a God he was, to see how he helped the children of Israel, to see how he performed many miracles in the Old Testament. Now we're New Testament, but I'm going to tell you, many things that happened in the Old Testament solidified it into me to say God is God. Because he says in his word, he changes not. And so, yes, we're New Testament and Jesus, and there's a lot of differences that have happened with Jesus now, but he's still what? The same God. The same stories that I read back in the old and now into the new, and the things that Jesus said, those were all those things as I read, they were coming into me, but my spiritual hearing was being tuned in to where I was beginning to hear the Spirit feed me as much as I was reading feeding me. The Spirit of God was feeding me. And guess what? The Word and God and His Spirit, they did this. They dovetailed themselves with His written Word to His Rhema Word to the Logos Word. Boom! And I couldn't do anything but say, God, whatever it is, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'll go through your door hands down, not even thinking twice. And all the things begin to change. It's not that I'm perfect. It's not that I'm special. He's speaking to each and every one of you right now. It's whatever he is asking you to do, to be a part of, to be helpful of. It's whether time, talent, finances, whatever it is. Any one of those three or all, I don't know, are just to be the light of Christ in a dark place. Amen? And to go forth. Our ears must hear and hear correctly. We have many distractions that comes our way, but we can't allow them not to hear what the Spirit is saying, especially now, but it's any time of life. If I was back in, 1940 and I was a pastor and I was sharing with you people in 1940, I'd say the same thing. The time that we're in now is so critical. There's so much going on. You need to have God, yeah, Christ as your anchor. Cornerstone to build on. 1960, we're going through a tremendous time. Now we're in 2020. We need to hear that of God. It's the same thing going on. It just continues. Different situations, different people, but it's still kind of like the same premise. Evil in the world, crazy things happening, and we got to hear correctly. We have many distractions, but we need to hear now, especially now. Now we find in the parable of the sower, we read in Matthew 13:9, it says this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's that parable again. We're talking those parables. He used stories. I was looking here, again, the parable, and we're not going to get into the parables, but that's an exciting thing. If you just read that, it'll kind of help you understand sometimes where the churches are at. And the churches are what? We are the church. We're an assembly, we're a body here, a congregation. But it'll tell you where the church is at, because I am part of I am his church. The Holy Spirit resides in me, okay? So we are little churches going out and everywhere we go, to the schools, to our works, to the courthouse, whatever the case is, we're the church going forth. So he speaks of this parable about the seed and how it comes in. Now, it's also to understand that about one-third of Jesus' teachings was in parables. Because people relate to that. Don't people like a good storyteller? You ever had somebody come in and say, hey, let me tell you a story. And they can just tell you the story and you're just mesmerized by it. You're just listening to it. And there could be, and it's a truth. It's maybe something that's really happened, a story. This is what has happened. They love to hear things in a story, to hear it, to where they can almost begin. Because back in the day when we didn't have TV, we had radio shows, the Lone Ranger, some of those crime shows and all that were on there, Elliot Ness and all that, I don't know. But a lot of it was on radio, and what did you do? You heard it, the story, but you saw it in your mind. And today, you can hear articles or things on a radio, they play some old-time radio, then you begin, your mind begins to put the scene together. You can see it beginning to develop. And so stories do that. And as Jesus was sharing, like I said, it says about a third of his teachings was that in parables. So now when we look at Matthew 13:9, it's telling us, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ears to hear notes the essential need for a what? Here's the key. The essential need for a teachable hearing heart to be present if the seed of the kingdom, that of truth, is to be received and to become fruitful. So ears to hear notes the essential need for a teachable hearing heart. Doesn't his word tell us that at times The mind is seared, the heart is hard. He needs to soften our hearts. That's where the teaching, when it begins to really resonate with you, is when his teaching gets down into your heart. You know, before we do anything else, we come to Christ and say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me of my sins. I make you and confess you as Lord of my life. Change my heart, Lord. Change my heart. Take the stony heart out and put in a pliable heart into me. Because once my heart has changed, I will begin to change. We look around today at so much craziness and violence and rioting out there. I would tell you this, I would venture to say those people do not have a loving heart. They don't even have, their heart is hard. Because it doesn't matter to them what they're doing. They just want to tear up and destroy. It doesn't matter what they want to do. They just want to tear up. And I've shared this before, that's the evil in them. That's the God of this world. God, his spirit works into us to share the good news. The devil, he has his spirit going about in the world, and he's using people to do what he wants them to do. So it's that spiritual battle of light and darkness, good and evil. And they're using us. But praise God, I'm on God's side, I'm in God's army, I'm in his power, his spirit, his teaching in me, and I'm going to tell you that we are going to succeed. God is not going to fail, amen? His kingdom comes, hallelujah. A lot of wild things going on, and cities burning down, and violence happening, but we are going to win at the end. You got to believe that, you got to hold it to your heart, you got to trust it. You got to know that you know that you know what God's word says. He's not a storyteller to where he just tells a story that's a lie. Jesus told stories because that's how people could comprehend what he was speaking about, seed and harvest and planting. You talk to a farmer. If you talk that way, he could tell you a lot about the seed of God, the word of God being sown. You know, what's it take to prepare a field for a crop? Take the stones out. What's it take to take the field to prepare for a crop? You gotta plow it. You gotta break up the ground. You gotta do this. You gotta whatever the case is. So Jesus is speaking about this parable and what it is. And this is one of the keys to be teachable, having a teachable hearing heart for that to be dropped into. New Living says this for Matthew 13:9. Anyone with ears, I know you all got ears, to hear should listen and understand. Well, you know, there's some things that God's word, as we share and we hear, it doesn't always comprehend right away. Has anybody ever had to say, now wait a minute, Lord, what does that mean? What are you trying to say in that, Lord? Even though I'm reading it in scripture, but for some reason I can't quite pick up the gist of it. And so I may stop and I say, but Lord, how does that play out in this situation or where I'm at or in this time? And if I meditate long enough and keep the rattle of the noise of the world out and meditate and listen to him by that of the Spirit, generally it comes. Now, it's great when it comes within like 30 seconds after you ask, right? Isn't that great? Well, what does this mean, Lord? Boom! It means that. Great. But I've also had times where I have questioned things and I've said, what does this mean? And it might take a day or two before I really begin to hear that. And it could be, because I've shared this, just like Jesus in parables, God has spoke to me many times. Maybe it's you guys too. But I count it as God in the natural when he speaks to me about something or I notice something or something in scripture, I will see something in the natural a day, a week, maybe a couple of weeks later. But here's what happens. The spirit in me, in my spirit, it draws it back to what I ask God. And all of a sudden I go, oh, I understand what your word was saying now, God. Because what? I saw something in the natural that I can relate into that spiritual realm. And it's not hocus pocus, but it's just the way for me anyway, that God speaks to me. Hallelujah. I love it. I love to look at natural things and ask God, why is that? What are you trying to teach me through that? In the natural, if I look at something, no big deal. But if I fixate on it, or I look back at it, and my spirit says something like, pay attention, Tim, my next conversation is, God, why am I fixated on that bush over there? What am I to learn from that? And many times, guys, he will begin to share something in the spirit to me. And it's something to do that I had a question some time back about. But see, that's where we're hearing. I'm hearing and here again. I'm not trying to paint a picture that I'm super spiritual, duper, super duper. But I'm just saying we all should be on that plane of hearing. He who has ears, hear. He who has spiritual ears, hear the spiritual things of what God is saying, because you need to hear God, no matter if you were living in 1930, 1950, 2020, if we're alive in 2030, you're going to need ears and spiritual ears to hear what's going on. Until you get called home, until while he has us here, we're here on a mission. Hallelujah. We're here on a mission. And he's looking for ones to step up to say, you know, it's kind of dark and gloomy and kind of chaotic, but I'm on the Lord's army side. Hallelujah. God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance in their hand, healing and deliverance. And that's what people need. They need to be delivered. Delivered of their past, delivered of their sins, because that's what Jesus came about. And we have healing. We can pray for healing. We believe in healing. We trust God for healing. But I have seen wonderful Christian men and women die, but they still had some kind of a heart problem. Maybe they died of cancer. They weren't healed here, but they were healed once they entered heaven. Because that's our promise as a Christian. We will be healed. God will not allow illness and sickness into his heaven. It's healing and health. No crutches, no wheelchairs, no pacemakers, no pumps, no this, no that. And so that's where, as a Christian, we have to have that understanding, because there will be people out there in the world that will mock you to say, well, if you prayed for healing for sister so-and-so and she died of the cancer, so much for your God of healing. I go, oh, wait a minute. Being a child of God, she has this promise that there's no illness or sickness in heaven. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, for if it wasn't so, I would not be telling you. I have prepared a mansion. I have prepared a place for you. And where I go, you will be there too. See, that as a Christian, I'm going to tell you, the greatest type of funeral to give is that to a Christian. A couple of weeks back when I had that funeral, I read two scriptures, and I tell you what, my spirit at a funeral home, it was already rising up, and I just told them, I said, folks, we're about ready to have church. Who? At a funeral home? Hallelujah, yes. Because this person that passed, she was a child of God. She served God. She was saved. She just spoke that of God. That was her life. That was her style of living. Is that your style of living today? Is to be a child of God, to where when your funeral comes and my funeral comes, I tell you, they better have church and not have a somber, sorrowful time. If anybody's crying at my funeral, they better be bringing cries of joy and laughing. I don't know. If I have an open casket, I hope when you come up and look at me, you laugh at me. I don't know. I hope I got the biggest smile on. Thumbs up. Whatever. But it's just to say, as a child of God, see, that's where our thought process is totally different than the world. And the world will not understand this type of stuff, and they think you're kind of Looney Tunes. But what is sad is they are the ones that are missing out, aren't they? They're the ones that are missing out. When life ends here, they don't know where they're going. They may not even think there's another eternity. They might think, this is heaven. Well, this is heaven. Wow. Phew. No, it's not. There's a place much, much better. But early on in their lives, early on in her life, she heard. This lady that I had the funeral for, she heard with the natural ears. She heard with the spiritual ears. And she lived up into her upper 80s, almost 90, a life of that of Christ. No, she's not perfect. Billy Graham, all that he did for God, he's not perfect. He would tell you that, I'm sure, right? I would stand before you and say, I am not perfect. You would stand there and say, I am not perfect, but I'm a child of God. I've been forgiven of my sins, and I'm serving him, and he's using me. And I desire more of him and less of me. We have to be like Paul. Daily, we've got to be asking, Lord, less of me and more of you in every situation. When we come up here and minister the word, I don't want none of Tim up here. I want the Spirit of God up here speaking to his children to say, this is me speaking to you in the Spirit. Hear me. I love you. I accept you. I want to change you. I want to use you. I've got a plan for you. Don't give up. Breath in your lungs. I'm still going to use you. I wonder how many he's used when they've laid in their casket. And we do a message of salvation. And somebody that's there that needs to have Christ as their Lord. Somebody there that has had Christ as their Lord, but they stepped away because of the busyness of life got in the way. That's one of the things as far as we've talked about in hearing. He who has ears, hear. It's what happens is we have the ears to hear, but we've got so much confusion and things going on in life just in general that it is such a... life in general does a good job of getting us sidetracked. Children, God bless them, sidetrack you. Your job, God bless to have a job, to have income, to have a house, to have food. It sidetracks you. It's not to say that you can't serve God with a job, with a family, with kids, but there is things there that you... Anybody here feel like your plate gets a little bit too full? You know? I've talked to people that have retired that seems like they say their plate's fuller now than when they were working. So just retirement doesn't say it's going to be easier. Ears to hear. Yes, I've already shared this. Notes the essential need for a teachable hearing heart. We sing a song every once in a while, don't we? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. For you are the potter, I am the clay. Make me and mold me, this is what I pray. See, we got to understand our part to play in his kingdom. We're clay. He's the potter. He's going to mold us, and he's going to use us for his purpose, if we allow that. He won't use you against your will. You've got to surrender to him. You've got to be able to say, if I'm your pot, and somehow I got off the balance of your clay, I give you permission, Lord, to take that clay and splat it on that wheel, and let's start over again. Oh, imperfection. Let's start over. You know, he'll do it. He'll do it. Just ask him to. It's okay to be splat on the wheel of the potter. He'll keep working. Doesn't his word say, or don't we say it as a child's thing one time? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. See, we're all children of his. We might be some old kids, you know, but we're children. I like when people look at me and say, oh, Tim, grow up. Hallelujah, I'm still a child. Woo, glory to God, you know. I've not gotten old and crusty. I want to be a child, man. I want to enjoy life. I want to laugh. I want to shout. Glory to God. I want to have church in a funeral home. Glory to God. I want to have church in church. I want to have church outside. I want to have church at that apartment complex. I want wherever it's at, Lord, let's go. Let's go. Ears to hear. Got to have that. Human ears hear many sounds, but there's a deeper kind of listening that results in a spiritual understanding. If you truly seek, here it is, God's will, you will have spiritual hearing. We've got to get off of what I want. How many here want what you want? Oh, now, come on, you can be honest. You're not all little saints out there, I know. I want stuff. Then you know what? There's a time I got to get to that point and say, you know what, Lord, it's not what I want, it's what you want. And what you want, I want. It's a thing we used to have here, and it says like Mark Brennenkamp would say this, you know, what he say, I say type of a thing. You know, we say a lot of things, but what I want is what he says, I want to say. So I say, Lord, what is it? Drops it in your spirit. That's what you want to say. Not what some say, but what he says. I don't want to hear some things like, well, this sounds good. I want everything that I hear, what my God is saying, so that I am serving him, so that I am honoring him. All glory goes and belongs to God. We all have a part to play. We find in Revelation, and that's where we want to kind of end. We got a little about 10 minutes or so. In Revelations, we begin to hear it again. In Revelation 2:7, New King James says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the... to the churches. This is the woes there, you know, the seven churches in Revelation. I tell you what, just go there sometimes if you want to be kind of like, okay, Lord, are we a good church? Are we right where you want us to be? But as we get into Revelation, it's an area that, as a church, we need to be paying attention to what Jesus was pronouncing these woes to you. Now, we as a church can do a lot of good things on the surface, but it's what's being done in the deep of the person. What is the motives? What is really being stood upon? Are we standing here to tickle ears so people will come back? Or are we standing on God's word to call what God says and to still love people and to share the truth of God and people come to the truth? Do they come to the truth because of God's word? Or do they come to the church because they get a tickle funny feeling and it makes them feel good to go out that week and continue to do what they're doing without a change? As a church, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, if you're not changing day by day by day to the glory of God, where are you going? Because every day we're learning, every day we're stretching. God is stretching us, God is teaching us, God is showing us. He is speaking to us, He's telling us things, He's helping us, He's directing us. And you know what? And it sounds like we're always busy doing a lot of things, but I think a lot of times God would just say, rest. 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 Slow down. It's in my time. It's in my hands. Get rid of that anxiety. Get rid of that stress. Rest upon the Lord. God has never told us to keep going so fast that we wear ourselves into the grave. Or that we wear ourselves to the point of we become so tired that we're not thinking right. When we're not thinking right, we might say dumb things, and then we're thinking like, I'm sorry I said that, I don't know how that happened. It happened because you were not rested, you were not mentally alert, something stirred you up, something, you know, somebody might say something to me that it might aggravate me, but if I'm rested in that of God, and if I'm resting and relaxed and I have no anxiety, I say, oh boy, I'd like to give that dirt. All of a sudden the spirit in me says, that's not the way to be. And I back off and I don't say something. But I want to remain in rest and peace. We got to have peace. We got to have rest. I believe the enemy has done a really good job of wearing a lot of good Christian people into the ground because they got so tied up into so many activities, programs, things to do, which they're all well and good. But I read this many years back, a good thing done at the wrong time or not God's time is still a bad thing. It's not a good, it's good, but it's bad. So many times I always hear that come back into my thoughts as I think of things at the church. What we should do? How far out? What's this? You have to work within your means. You have to work with what you can do. I tell you what, one of these days I'm going to pull up, we got some videos of anniversary of our church years back. And during that anniversary, I can't remember who did it, but somebody put a collage of different pictures of outreaches that Believers Faith Fellowship did, that Harvesters Church did, out in the community, out at the fairgrounds, out in parks, out here, out there, out, things that we did. We've done a lot of outreaches. And it was really interesting. As I watched, I thought, wow, Lord. And then, you know what? Old me, I go, well, why isn't that not today? Why are we out into parks? Why are we out in the fair? Well, we know the fair was closed this year, but not this year. So you begin to wonder, and all of it, food pantry, over 25 plus years, tons of food given out. A year or so back, it was just like, you know, I think it's time we lay that down. Something else that God has for us to do. And so even as a pastor and talk to leadership or the advisors, it's like, you know, what one thing has come into my thoughts and spirit is, hear what God wants you to do and do it, but do it with an excellence or do it with a fulfillment that it's actually doing what it needs to be doing and not just to do it so that you can tell people we're doing it, if you get my drift. I think the biggest charge that I've sensed several years back now at Harvesters Church is this, is to be a church for those of the senior years to come back into that of God. Because remember, in our hearing and the world and the busyness that comes into our lives with a job and family and all these things going on, I believe once we get into that 50s, upper 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever the case might be, we begin to step back and we go, you know, my kids are gone, they're raised, they're here, they're there, you know, and I used to have a relationship with God back when I was 20, 22, 23, I want to get back to that relationship. And I want to be that church that's here to say, welcome back into the arms of God. He's waiting for you. He's been waiting for you for the last 25 years or 30 years to come back. And so anyway, that's one of those things that I feel for our church. So it's an interesting concept. But anyway, I can't go into all that that he shared with me, and I've kind of shared bits and pieces throughout these years. But I think it's the seasons and those times that God takes his churches, because we are still his church. God is still providing. And so anyway, we just follow that stream of what's next, God? What's next? Hallelujah. I told my pastor friends, I said, I'm so glad we got a small church, because just about everybody that comes here, we could almost fit everybody here if we needed to. I mean, we could put a few more chairs here to scatter them out even more, but just about everybody that would actually be here, we're missing a couple of families here and there, but everybody could come. We could attend and have our whole service here, and everybody would be here. We wouldn't have to split it up. So a small church has its benefits. I'm honored. I'm honored. I thank God for that. I don't have to be a big church unless he wants to be a big church. It's his God. Hearing by what he wants and responding accordingly. So now we talked in Revelations here. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, I like the Amplified. It says, he who is able to hear, let him listen and give heed to what the Spirit says to the assemblies, or to the churches. To him who overcomes is what? See, as we overcome things, we become victorious. I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So we need to develop spiritual ears, listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church. When forced to choose, obey God, not man. We need to understand that understand that one may be rich in the Spirit, but poor in the world's eyes. Be faithful and receive the crown of life. That you may be poor in the world's eyes, but you're rich in that of the Spirit. So anyway, when we think about this living concept, it says the wise believer takes the time to listen with his spiritual hearing to what the Spirit is saying. This is needed today as it was back in the first century. One who hears and following the voice of the Holy Spirit does not need to fear the deceptions that leads to apostasy. And see, this is the thing we got to look at. As we in our churches of today, and there was apostasy back all the time. But in our times of today, we're looking at, because we are the church of today, this is where we're at. But we see a lot of that taking place where people have left or filtered out of the church. The apostasy. Some are being called away. Some are being deceived. Some of it is being manipulated. But I'm going to tell you, this was not written for a person that had to have a master's degree in all of that to understand God's word, because God's word, and I'll tell him, says, come unto me as little children. He didn't say, come unto me as professors and doctors and learned people. They're the ones that have the hardest time putting this together because it doesn't compute with their intellect. I just trust God. I've heard him speak into my spirit too many times and where I'm at today. So anyway, it's not to get into an argument. I don't want to argue about God's word. God's is love. We don't have to see eye to eye on everything. We just have to have friendship and trust and to respect one another of where they're at. But anyway, as we look at this, finalizing this talking about the Spirit to the churches, this is needed today as it was in the first century. One who hears and follows the voice of the Holy Spirit does not need to fear the deception that leads to apostasy. Rather, he will walk where Jesus requires and will grow in the things of the Spirit of God, which produces this: healthy, vibrant, Spirit-filled churches capable of preaching Jesus to the whole world. That's what it's about. Hallelujah! We want to be a vibrant church, a church that's alive. We want to be a church that's love. I tell people we need to walk with the compassion that Jesus walked with. He had little to do with the learned, educated, highly religious order of his time. Those are the ones he yelled at and scolded. It was the sinner that he went and took by the hand and knew their sins, but he took care of them because they needed a healer. They needed a salvation. They needed Jesus. Didn't he say that those that are sick need a doctor? Those that are healthy, they don't need a doctor. Well, we've got a lot of sick people out there. And we're going to go forth as a church, individually or as a corporate body, to say, when somebody says Harvester's Church, I hear that's a loving church and they care for one another and they're friendly and they, we're a loving, caring church. But we will stand on the principles of God and to always bring honor and glory and respect to him. Let's go out and let's get put back into the the ministry of God's Word. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these wonderful people, Lord. I ask you to just bless them abundantly and richly in their lives. Father, I pray that something touches their spirit. Lord, I do pray for all of our spiritual understanding, our spiritual hearing to be in tune to you, Lord, and not to that's out this outside, Lord, and so much of disruptions, Father. Lord, I do pray for our physical hearing as well, Lord. We need to hear when the word is preached, when we hear somebody sharing of your word. But Father, we pray that it gets deeper into our spirit, that we spiritually hear these things, and that they invigorate us, that it excites us, that it encourages us, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you are still God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we're in, to the point of, Lord, I know you're still God. It may not be the best of times when I look at it in the natural, but Lord, we will get through this. I pray for our nation. I pray for our politics. I pray for the media. I pray, Lord, anything out there of dissension and lies is exposed. I pray for this anarchiness that's in our nation of tearing and fighting and destroying. Lord, I pray peace now upon those groups, Lord. I pray that they would have like a road to Damascus experience, Lord. I just pray the Holy Spirit come down and just hit them people, Lord, and just make them drop their weapons, drop their whatever, and they just begin to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I believe that's possible. I know you can do it. And Lord, I just pray now. I pray for salvation upon each and every one of our politicians, all of those government officials, Lord, Republican or Democrat. I pray for their soul. I pray that those that are of spirit-filled, Lord, that you would just bolden them up, Lord, and be able to stand on your truth, even as they share, no matter where they're at in our government, from federal, state, local, Lord. We just thank you now. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance. We thank you for your help. Bless each and every one now. And that which is given, Lord, thank you to multiply it to meet every need. Now, Lord, we ask you to go with us. Give us the words to say. Let us help those around us. Let us show your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.